Seeking the lost, yes, kindly entreating, wanderers on the mountain of strength, come unto me, his message repeating, words of the Master speaking today.
Going afar,
upon the mountain,
bringing the wanderer back again,
into the fold of my Redeemer,
Jesus the Lamb,
for sinners slain. Seeking the lost and pointing to Jesus, souls that are weak and hearts that are sore, leading them forth in ways of salvation, showing the path to life evermore.
Going afar,
upon the mountain,
bringing the wanderer back again,
into the fold of my Redeemer,
Jesus the Lamb,
for sinners slain. Thus I would go on missions of mercy, following Christ from day unto day, cheering the faint and raising the fallen, pointing the lost to Jesus the way.
Going afar,
upon the mountain,
bringing the wanderer back again, into the fold of my Redeemer,
Jesus the Lamb, for sinners slain.
We're going to the exciting book of Leviticus. I know that you all just said, yeah, Leviticus. I was hoping he'd preach from Leviticus tonight. And I was looking at this scripture up here on the screen. You were talking about scriptures. What a wonderful scripture that is. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, look at that. We have fellowship one with another. Isn't that good? We have fellowship one with another. I never had fellowship like this in the world. Only way I had fellowship with them was if I had money. Right? When the money ran out, the friends ran out. But right here, we have fellowship one with another. And not only that, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. How much better could it get than that? We're clean. We're all together in one accord. We're not even in a Honda. Right? And we're fellowshipping one another. We're saved if you've been born again. We're clean by the blood of the Lamb. And we can just have, we've already had a good time tonight. Right? The fellowshipping before the service. And sometimes I'm the last one to sit down. I just like to fellowship. And I like to have food when we do it, but I can fellowship without food. It's more fun with food. And We know that from yesterday. Still trying to get over that meal. And we're out of cookies. I can't blame Brother Ronnie because I don't think he went back last night. But he must have got them Sunday night. I don't know. No, he didn't. I told him to eat the M&Ms. They were Pam's. And leave the rest of the stuff alone. But, man, what a verse. I mean, this packed with good things right in there. We're walking in the light. Aren't you glad you're not blind anymore?
Yes.
Amen. By the God of this world. What a blessing that is. Yes, to have our eyes opened. And we're not only walking in the light, but we're walking in the light that he walked in. And so, man, what a good verse. That's a good one to start out with. Leviticus chapter 23. I don't know if I told you the chapter or not. Got excited about him talking about, I feel like traveling on. And I was just saying, even so, come Lord Jesus, quickly.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be good if the Lord came back right now? Amen. Ain't a thing I got left to do. I can leave from here just as good as I can leave from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Probably even better. Because I'm closer to the north.
That's right.
You know, is north that way? Is that what you said?
Yep.
I'm closer to the north. Amen. Brother Ed is closer to God, him and Andrew and Matt, than anybody in here. Because they're closest to the north. They'll get a head start on us if they leave out. But I get excited when you talk about traveling on because I got a better place to go. Amen. Y'all can stay here and go to Dollar General if you want to. Oh, it's going to be a really good sermon tonight. I found Almond Joy Creamer today. Say amen right there. After months of not having any, I had my first cup of coffee in a long time with Almond Joy Creamer from, is it Weiss? Is that how you say that? And or is that close? They had three bottles. I bought two of them. And, man, I came straight back to the room and fixed me a cup of coffee and poured that in there. And it was like the nectar of life. Where's the IV? Where's the portacath? Hook me up. And I'm excited about that, amen. I got some Almond Joy Creamer. And as Pam says, don't take much to please me. She tells me that about her all the time, and she's right about that. But Leviticus chapter 23. Chapter 23 is a chapter that kind of hurriedly covers the feast that are named. And Leviticus is, it's not a real complicated book. It's about the holiness of God. Amen. It's about the need of mankind and our sinfulness. And it points out our sinfulness, you remember I said none of us can redeem ourselves, and it points that out, and the holiness of God, like he was talking about in Isaiah 6 yesterday, but then the remedy for that, and of course the Old Testament economy, the remedy for Israel. But here in chapter 23, it's talking about the different feasts or festivals that God commanded and gave to the nation of Israel. I believe we can glean some truth from that tonight as well. And in verse 33, it's talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. And so we're going to read verse 33 down through verse 44 and then give you something that I hope will be a blessing to all of us and encourage us. How many of you need encouraging tonight? I do. Like Brother Wilson said last night, the devil uses his devices, and the first one he uses a lot of time in our life is discouragement. And discouragement. But here tonight, I hope that we'll be encouraged in the Lord. Amen. And in his word, something that will last and we can take home with us. Verse 33, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be an holy convocation. You don't hear that word much nowadays, do you? Convocation. You know, holy either, for that matter. But you don't hear that term used in our modern day English, I guess you could say. But it's simply just an assembly, an assembling. Get yourselves together in a holy manner. It shall be a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. I like that idea, don't you? No work. A day off. A week off or whatever. And so he goes on in verse 36 to say, 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be an holy convocation, another assembly, another gathering together, a holy one unto you. And you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. And you shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything upon his day. Aren't you glad, as I said the other day, We don't have to come in here and make a meat offering tonight. We don't have to come in here and make a sacrifice tonight. We don't have to come in here and go through a, I don't want to say ritual, that's more like an earthly word, but we don't have to come in here and go through these things that the children of Israel had to go through when they came and assembled themselves together before the Lord. Now, we are here tonight before the Lord, amen? I pray that this is a holy assembly because that God is here present. There's nothing holy about us outside of the holiness of God. But I'm glad His holiness is sufficient, amen? I want to lift Jesus up tonight. I want to make much of Him. I want to make much of the Holy One. And I want Him to, I know He came with us in the form of the Holy Spirit, but I would love this week for God just to come down, amen, as we magnify Him and lift Him up, and that we would feel His presence, amen, in our midst. You say, we're not saved by feelings. I know that, but it sure does feel good when God comes down in a special way and blesses you in a special way, and you forget that you're dignified, and you forget that there are people around you, and you get so focused upon God that you really don't care what's going on around you. Amen. That's what I would like to see happen in my soul and your soul by the end of the week, that we're looking forward to coming to the house of God just to see what's going to happen tonight, that we're excited to see what God's going to do, amen, and to see how He's going to move in a special way.
Amen.
You ever been in church a prolonged period of time? I remember when I pastored at Metis, and God began to move in our church, and people began to get saved, and we didn't have to beg them, and we didn't have to run a program, and we didn't have to give away stuff. We just prayed and sought God and turned our face toward Him, and people began to come, and we invited them, and the power of the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of their heart, and they got saved, and we as children of God, we got excited about serving the Lord, and we couldn't wait to get to the house of God. We were excited about coming to church. We didn't want to miss. We just prayed we'd miss out on something, amen. That God would move in a special way, and we'd miss out. I don't want to say on the Shekinah glory, but I've been in a few services and I felt like, amen, that the glory of God fell in a manner that it was so big that you almost had to get out of the room. You ever been driving down the road and get to talking to God? And God seemed so real to you that it seemed like He was sitting on the front seat beside of you. And it's like all of a sudden the car just wasn't big enough. And before we had cell phones and handheld devices only here in the great state of Maryland. You know, used to when we saw people riding down the road talking, we thought they were, when nobody else was in the car. You know, you're riding down the road and you say, we thought they were crazy. Now, you know what they're doing. They're talking on the phone, amen. But before we had all that, hey, you ever talk to God anymore? And you don't have to have a handheld device to do that, amen? Oh, you don't have to have a cell phone. Hey, you can get in touch with Him through the Holy Spirit of God and talk to Him and walk with Him and fellowship with Him. Just enjoy the blessings of God and just shut out the world for a little while. I'm glad we don't have to do those sacrifices and offerings and all these things. And he goes on and says in verse 38, beside the Sabbath of the Lord, beside your gifts and beside all your vows and beside all your free will offerings which you give unto the Lord, on top of everything else. That's what we need to do here this week, amen. We need to come looking for something else, amen. On top of all the other things we do, on top of all the normal services, the Sunday mornings and the Sunday nights and the Wednesday nights, amen. This ought to be a little something special, not because I'm here, not because you're here, but because we're coming every night seeking God. Looking for Him to move and do a work in our lives. On top of everything else. Verse 39, also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And you shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees and willows of the brook. Look what it says. And you shall do what? Rejoice.
That's not a dirty word. Some of y'all were afraid to say it. Rejoice.
And ye shall
rejoice.
It's not,
ye shall rejoice. I was listening to a preacher preach one time, and I was watching a video, and he was preaching, and he just went down here. I don't know why this just hit my mind. I guess because I'm saying rejoice, and some of y'all are reluctant to rejoice tonight. You might have had a bad day. You may be married. I don't know what your problem is. We all got problems, don't we? But he came down, Brother Koblenz, and he just stopped preaching, and he just did this. That was only like 30 seconds. Turn that into 45 minutes. Some of y'all ain't liking this. But are we not all guilty? I've been there, amen. I've come in and sat down like a knot on the log. Amen. Not excited about the things of God. Come in leaving. I'm guilty. We back in our parking place. I'm really getting down there where the rubber meets the road now. We back in our parking place so we can make a quick exit. You know, it's really dangerous in the church parking lot when, in a lot of churches, when the service dismisses. But no, there's nothing wrong with rejoicing. And ye shall rejoice. How? Before the Lord your God. Look at this. 7 days. Wow. Some of you have not rejoiced 7 days in 70 years. We don't always have something to rejoice about as far as life is concerned, do we? Unless we can set that aside for an hour or so when we come to the house of God and try to tune that out as hard as it may be. And I've went through the same thing. But I promise you, if we will seek the Lord, He will be found, amen. He will meet our needs. If we want Him, He will meet with us here this week. I promise you, He will meet. If we come with the right attitude, if we come hungry, amen. A lot of people don't get anything because they don't come to church hungry because they're already full of the things of this world.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
And they have no appetite for the things of God.
Amen.
And so we're to rejoice, He said. You come and rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. Look at verse 41. Ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute or a law forever in your generation. Look at this. Ye shall do what? What's that word?
Celebrate.
Ye shall. Do you know what? The world shouldn't be the only crowd that celebrates. They celebrate, don't they? They celebrate at the football game. Hundreds of thousands show up at one, and they're all cheering and yelling, and that's okay if you pull for your team or whatever, but hey, shouldn't we get just as excited about the things of God and the fact that our sins are forgiven?
Yes. Amen.
And that heaven is our home?
Yes. Amen.
Yeah. They celebrate.
They celebrate all of these holidays. There's nothing wrong with that if it's a good holiday. There's nothing wrong with getting with together with your family and being thankful at Thanksgiving and celebrating the holiday of Thanksgiving. But hey, couldn't we celebrate the good things of God? And the goodness of God and how He's blessed us and how He is blessing us and how He continues. But if we can only do that when we come to this holy convocation, if we shut out just for a little while the outside things of the world and focus on Him. That's the only way we can do it. Otherwise, we won't get nothing. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. Look, verse 42, he reminds them of their exodus from Egypt. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. He didn't leave them uncovered. He met every need they had in the land of Egypt, didn't he? They lacked for nothing. Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. I just want to talk for a few minutes tonight about that one word, celebrate. You don't see much celebration among, and I ain't talking about artificial celebration where you get a bunch of pumped up music and appeal to the emotions, amen. You know, I ain't talking about that. That's like celebration of the world. I'm talking about celebrating in a holy convocation, in a godly manner. But you can celebrate.
Yes.
And we can do it in the right way, and we can be happy in our soul, and we can praise the Lord, and we can rejoice in the Lord, and we can enjoy the good things of God. We can enjoy one another's company and enjoy one another's fellowship and enjoy the good singing of the good hymn of the songs of God and enjoy the preaching of God's word and praise Him and lift Him up.
Amen.
And rejoice, if only but just for a little while. I know we got to go back out here into the world tonight and tomorrow and the next day and all of that. But hey, I pray that God would give us something each night that would go with us throughout the day tomorrow and the next day and the next day.
Yes, amen.
That we could celebrate. But I thought about celebrate. I know this is Old Testament theology and law. It's given to the nation of Israel. We don't celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles like Jews still do in this day in which we live, and they still do that. I think Yom Kippur is their holiest of holy days in their religion, so to speak. But you know what? That doesn't exempt us, nor mean that we, as Baptists, that we can't celebrate. We ought to be able to celebrate even more than they do. Because they don't even realize that a Savior came, amen, down from glory and redeemed us and purchased us. They don't even realize that God had provided salvation, amen. Oh, we can sing the song that no angel can sing, amen. Why? Because they don't know the salvation that I know tonight. They hadn't been forgiven of the sins that I've been forgiven of tonight. Oh, they can't feel the joy in their soul like I can. Angels ain't got nothing on me. This world ain't got nothing on me. Hey, the Jew don't have nothing on me tonight. Hey, they are God's chosen people. He's not done with them yet. But aren't you glad God purchased the church, amen? Aren't you glad God bought us, amen, and redeemed us? And I got something to celebrate about tonight. I'm excited about being saved. I might be mad as a hornet tomorrow, but right now, leave me alone. I'm having a pretty good time, amen. If you don't want to rejoice, I'm going to rejoice for you. I'm going to soak up all your joy. Go home, drink your pickle juice and suck your lemons and eat your green persimmons. I'm going to rejoice with or without you. Amen. I just won't stop and say glory. Hey man, that Almond Joy Creamer is doing pretty good. Wish I'd found some of that Saturday. We ought to celebrate. I know we can't live on emotions. I know we can't exist on that. But there's nothing wrong with it. What can we celebrate, preacher? Look at all this trouble around us. The shootings, the burnings. I was telling them, Southport, North Carolina, Some guy drives up in a boat at a waterfront bar and grill and shoots and kills three people and shoots five others and drives off. And the Coast Guard called him going back to Oak Island. Now they're shooting from boats. It's not, I mean, brings new meaning to drive-by shooting, don't it? When they shoot you from the boat. Oh, how can we celebrate? Hey, there's some things we can still celebrate. I'm going to give them to you quickly. And they're simple things, but it's things that I don't think we even think about sometimes in our Christian life. Number one, we ought to celebrate his arrival.
Sorry.
When's the last time you celebrated? You don't have to wait till Christmas.
Amen.
Amen. You don't have to wait till then to celebrate his arrival. We ought to get excited about his arrival. Why is that? Because it was miraculous. Oh, there's never been a birth like that. There never will be another birth like that. That's the only birth that ever happened or will happen like that. Why is that? Because it was the plan of God, amen. Because it was a perfect plan. It was exactly what we needed as mankind. You say, what was miraculous about it? The fact that the Holy Ghost impregnated a little, probably teenage girl in this world, and the Lord God planted his seed into her in holiness, amen. And it was miraculous. Nobody ever heard of anything like that. There's not a one of you men, if your promised bride had come to you and said, guess what? We're going to have a baby, and it's of the Holy Ghost. I said, yeah. Tell me the one about the three bears. But old Joseph, being the just man that he was, amen. Hey, that's why we need to stay close to God, so that when God speaks, we can hear. And God and the angel of God came to him and said, hey, this is of God. Don't put her away. He was minded to put her away privately, but he decided, no, I'm going with God, amen. I'm sticking with the plan of God. God said this was a miraculous conception, and I believe him.
Yes.
We're to celebrate that. That's our Savior was born of a virgin, not of a young woman.
Amen.
She was a young woman, but she was a virgin, amen.
Right.
We ought to celebrate that every day of our life, his arrival, that he came upon this earth,
amen,
in miraculous fashion that had never been done and never has since and never will.
That's right.
But I think sometimes we just take that for granted, don't we? And just look at it maybe as the world looks at it. And don't get excited about it. But celebrate his arrival. Number two, how about this? Celebrate his life. When's the last time you celebrated the fact that he lived a sinless life? Can you imagine Brother Wilson living a sinless life in human flesh? I can't even imagine that. I can't go one day of sinlessness. Even if I hadn't been created in sin. I can't imagine going one day without having a bad thought or saying something that I shouldn't or doing something that I shouldn't.
Yes, sir.
I can't imagine. Oh, one day I will be.
Oh, yes.
You know what I say? There's going to be a lot of things to enjoy in heaven, but Brother Tracy, you know one of the greatest things we're going to enjoy? Is we don't have to fight the flesh anymore.
That's right.
Oh, Brother Wilson, all the things that I allowed the world and Satan to put in my mind the first 21 years of my life, hey, when I die or when Jesus comes for the very first time, I'll be reprogrammed and free from the bonds and chains of sin and all the evil thoughts that the world planted in me, and I'll never think about that junk and mess again. Glory!
Amen.
Delivered! Hallelujah! That excites me, amen. Because I get sick of myself sometimes. Every day, not sometimes, all the time. And I get sick of not being able to be what I want to be through as a child of God. But I will one day, amen. Why? Not because I'm sinless, but thank God because of the life of my Savior Jesus Christ, and that which I could not do, He did, amen, and came and lived a sinless life. And for He didn't come to destroy the law, He came to fulfill the law. And He did. Oh, man, what a Savior. Celebrate His life. Because of His life, I can walk in the light as He's in the light. Our sinless Savior. I don't believe He could sin because He was God. Number three, celebrate His arrival, celebrate His life. If we celebrate His life, we've got to celebrate His death. We don't celebrate many people's death, do we? We were telling Brother Ronnie and the family tonight, my wife, when she retired from Novant Health, and she worked there for 13 years in HR, made a lot of good friends along the way. And one of her good friends even today, she's a black girl, and I have to tell you that part so you'll understand the next part. But her mother died, and we went to the funeral. We were the only two white people there. We stood out. That's one time when we were noticeable. And we were sitting on the pew there, and there's a lot of space, and there's a black lady sitting on this end, and she kept looking at us. You know. And she slid over there and said, how are y'all affiliated with this family? If I'd have thought of it, I'd say that's my first cousin. But I didn't think of it quick enough. But we told her. You know, Pam worked with this lady, and they thought a lot of each other and still do, and they still have lunch together. And we came, and I was telling them, they didn't have no funeral. No, they didn't have no funeral. You know what they had? They had a celebration. You know what they celebrated? They celebrated the death of that dear lady that died in Christ. I thought we was going to see another resurrection. I expected any minute Lazarus come forth. I mean, they sang and shouted and praised God. You couldn't tell is anybody dead in there at all. Right? I mean, am I telling the truth? The preacher got up and preached. I mean, he didn't give a eulogy. He preached. He preached sin and salvation, amen, and sanctification. And man, I told Pam, I said, we might need to start coming to this church. Those people knew how to celebrate. You said, well, it wasn't real. You couldn't convince me of that. We probably don't see the eye to eye on every doctrine. But I'm going to tell you something. They had something to celebrate. You know what they just celebrate? They were celebrating the death of their loved one because they had been delivered from the pain of this world, amen. They had been delivered from the trouble and the trial of this world. Hey, I'm not looking for death. I still enjoy life, but if God takes me tonight, don't you feel sorry for me? You celebrate for me, amen. You sing victory in Jesus because I will have overcome death. Why is that? Because I can celebrate His death because it was victorious and it was vicarious. Oh, death tried to hold Him, I guess, but it couldn't do it. It could not do it. When's the last time you celebrated the death of our Lord? Number four, that brings us to this. We're to celebrate His resurrection. Just like we don't have to wait till Christmas to celebrate His arrival, we don't have to wait till Passover to celebrate His resurrection. Right. We're celebrated every day. He lives. Amen. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart.
Amen.
It's like the old story of the man standing out in the field flying the kite, and the kite had got so high it was out of sight. And the guy standing there holding this ball of twine, and the guy walks up to him and says, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm flying a kite." He said, "How do you know? You can't see it." He said, "Because every once in a while, I feel a little tug on the other end, and I know that it's there." Hey, that's what I want, amen. As I said, I know we're not saved by feelings, but don't you want to feel a little tug on the other end every once in a while? Don't you want God to speak to your heart in a special way? Don't you want to feel so close to Him that you feel like He's right there with you?
Yes. We can do that because we can celebrate His resurrection. Why? Because it was powerful. It was powerful.
Oh yeah.
He was the first fruits. He did something that no man had ever done nor ever will do outside of His power. What's that? Of His own free will, of God's power, He got up.
Yes.
And overcame death. And read 1 Corinthians 15. Death held no power over Him, amen. He had the victory. You know why I celebrate that? Because I get to be part of that, amen. As I said, because He was the first fruit. If I do die, if you do put my body in in the ground, or put it in a casket and put it in a vault and throw dirt on top of it and cover me up, guess what? Because He was the first fruit. When Jesus comes and the trumpet of God sound and the shout of God, I'm going to get up. I've often wondered, I don't know if dirt's going to fly everywhere when the rapture takes place and Jesus comes, or I don't know if we're just going to not even disturb the grave. It don't matter to me either way. Do y'all care?
No.
I don't care if the dirt flies or if it's undisturbed. All I care about is I'm going. Are you? Huh? Are you? I'm going. Why? I celebrate His resurrection because it was powerful. Celebrate. You should celebrate in the seventh month. And then the last one. I'll be done. We need to celebrate His return.
Anybody here? Anybody in here? Oh, there's another one of them southern words. Anybody here? That means, is there anybody that's in here? The southern version of that, is anybody here? Brother Wilson, I have to slow. I don't even understand myself sometimes. It's like, what did you just say? I said it so fast, I couldn't even understand it. I knew what I attempted, Brother Will, to say, but it's like, let me interpret that. You know. All these words that we put together and we talk so fast. But is there anybody in here that knows when Jesus is coming back? No. Do y'all remember the book, 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming in 1988?
Yes, sir.
Fellow was smart. He made a lot of money. You might have bought one. And then he didn't make enough money off the first one. He said, "I missed it by a year." And he wrote 89 reasons why Jesus is coming in 1989. What year is this? Is this 2025?
Yes,
sir. Has Jesus come? No, He hadn't come, has He? I don't know when He's coming. I don't know when He's going to show up. You know the only thing that matters? God the Father knows.
That's right.
Yeah. He's going to be late. He's going to be early. You say, why should we celebrate His return? We need to celebrate just because of its imminence. It's a sure thing.
Right.
How many sure things are there in this world? Not many, are there?
No.
Pam will tell me. She'll try to encourage me. She said, "Honey, be positive." I say, "Honey, I'm positive that nothing is going good." I've said that many a time. I am positive that there ain't nothing going right today. always an encouraging word, amen.
Mr. Negative. But there's one thing I'm sure about.
Yes, sir.
That's the return of Christ.
Yes.
We're to celebrate that.
Amen. There's a lot of problems in this building tonight. Amen.
That's right.
There's a lot of problems. There's a lot of sickness in this building tonight. That's amen. Right. Some of us may not even know it.
That's right. Yeah.
We don't know. People say, how you doing? Good, as far as I know. I don't want to know too far, do y'all?
No.
I don't know why these people go to these so-called soothsayers and astrologers and fortune tellers. I don't want to know if they could tell my fortune. I don't want to know what it is. Do y'all? No, I don't want to know what my future... I know what my future is, but if I could, I don't want to know... It's like my dad used to say, if I knew where I was going to die, I just wouldn't go there. Amen?
Yeah.
We're all human. We would all do that. If I knew where something bad was going to happen, I'd take a different route, Brother Tracy. Sometimes a light will turn red when I'm not ready for it to turn red. How many of you hit your brake when the light turns yellow? Not many. You know what you hit? You hit the gas. I do. I even hit it sometimes when it's red. I make sure I look around the intersection to see if I see any law enforcement that I recognize. And Pam say, you just run a red light. I say, I know. See it in that sin? I don't know. That's man-made law. I ain't never read in the Bible where it said, thou shalt not run red lights. Brother Matt, I forget every time. There's law enforcement in the building. I bet he's running a red light too. Even when his bubble wasn't on. No, he probably hadn't. I'll take that back. I might need his help sometime when I'm in Maryland. But sometimes I get impatient and the light turns red and I have to stop. I say, man. And Pam will say, the Lord might have just saved us from having an accident. Don't you hate it when they're right?
Yes.
Don't you hate it
Yes.
when they're right? And I say, you know, it's got to be a lonely world out there being right all the time. Use that one on your husband or wife. It works either way.
And so there's a lot of things I don't know and don't want to know.
But there's one thing I do know. He's coming again. If you're saved, he's coming to get you.
Oh, yes.
It's imminent. There ain't no Congress in the United States of America, no Senate, no president that can stop it.
That's
they can
true.
Vote on it all they want to.
Right.
They can pass all the laws they want to, trying to do away with God and the things of God. But I got bad news for them. Good news for me, bad news for them. He's coming.
That's right.
He's coming. He's coming to get us. We're redeemed.
Yeah.
Don't forget to celebrate every once. Don't forget to enjoy your Christianity.
Hey.
Every once in a while. It ain't all doom and gloom. It ain't all good. But it ain't all doom and gloom.
Sorry.
You know, a lot of my days are... A lot of my days, not always, but a lot of my days are determined by my attitude. And what I determine that I'm going, what kind of day I'm going to have. Not, like I said, not always, but there's a lot of days when you just get up and you just start celebrating the good things of God. It'll make a difference if you start out your day like that. Now, sometimes there'll be something come along that'll knock the joy out of you for a little while. But you know, tomorrow's a new day.
Oh, yeah.
Next week's a new week. Next year's a new year. We can all find something to celebrate. Jesus said, celebrate. Rejoice. Don't let the devil steal your joy.